What I'm going to start with today is the garden. The Garden of Eden. What do we know about the Garden of Eden? What does anybody?
It's on a mountain.
It's on a mountain. What's that?
Ethiopia?
I don't know. The only thing I know is what the Bible says. I mean, I know there's people a lot smarter than me in this world, and they do a lot of stuff.
We weren't
both. I will. I'm very free with it. They're a lot smarter than me, and they can deduct things and take things out of this. But I believe that the Lord puts things in there for a reason, and it's for us to search the reasons. I don't think he really wants us to search the purpose for a lot of stuff. Yeah, that's just my opinion. I think he wants us to search what he gives us, what he's provided. And he does that for a reason. He provides us only certain information because we're actually too dumb. We really are. I'm not being offensive to anybody, I hope, but it's the truth. Because none of us are God. And none of us will ever be God. But so what I'm going to do, I'm going to start off in Genesis 2:8. So I'm going to read this. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water a garden. And from there it parted and became four rivers. The name of the first was Pishon, in which skirts the whole land of Havilah, and there is gold, and where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Bidelahum and Oxenstone are found there. And the name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes towards east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. Now, I look at that, and it's a little weird. We, in America, you have the Mississippi River, and other rivers join into it, and then it becomes the mighty Mississippi River, and by the time it hits the south, it's a big river. Well, God's telling us that he made a river that's big enough that it divides into four rivers, and it goes different directions. Now, you read that, and you look over it, and you just don't even give it a thought. But it's totally different than it is today. Why is that? God knows, we don't. And that's why I say we're not smart enough to know this stuff. And it's not because God sees us as they don't deserve it. It's something for us to search and think about. And we can believe what is written in the Bible, not what we know. Because if we know, we're really going to mess it up. And that's when he takes us and makes us work to believe in him. But it's not really work. It's just acceptance. And that's what the Lord always wanted. Why do you make the garden? Why? He could have let man go. Okay, just go. Okay, here's a place. It's nothing special. But God planted the garden. See, it's amazing how God does stuff for us, which is best. Because if you look at the garden, you keep going. In 15, then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, and tended and kept it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you sure shall surely die. So he made this garden, and he put a tree in, and he says, don't eat it. Think about that. If Adam and Eve or anybody would have been in that garden, he said, don't eat it. Okay? They didn't eat from it. They lived in the garden. But when temptation comes along, man founders. I mean, we all do. It's not something new. It's not nothing new under the sun. We all do. And it makes it very real to us. Because Eden, the meaning of Eden, is a place of pleasure and delight. But in the place of pleasure and delight, there's a tree of good, which is more pleasurable, but it's a tree also of evil, which is in the garden of pleasure and delight. So, why does he do it? Because he's given man everything he needs. He needs to eat. There's a tree there to eat. There's trees there to eat. But only one he can eat from. So what God's done is God's built a relationship with man on what he needs. God fills our needs. And we go one step further. We want our desires filled. And that is where the garden, being perfect, being what the only thing man needs, hurt us, because we're always looking for more. We're never satisfied with what we have. It's our nature. Some people say they do, but there's always something they desire. You know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's how we are made. But God knew that. And in knowing that, he put the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But from the Garden of Eden, I'd like to go to Revelations 21. How'd you know that? Well, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, preparing as a bride adorned for her husband. Now you have a new heaven and a new earth. And there's no sea. Okay. No, we know all rivers go to the sea eventually. It's a natural progression. The rivers go to bigger rivers, which go to the seas, and it all becomes one. But there's no ocean. Then I'm going to skip over to 21:22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the sea has no need for the sun or for the moon. You got to remember, the Lord created the sun and moon. Why did he create the sun and moon? He created the sun and moon for man. And with God, when God's with us, there's no need for a sun and moon. We have what we need. And that's what people throughout all time have struggled with. God is enough. And we don't see it all the time. We try to, we vision it, but we miss it. There's times when you don't pay attention to what God says and what God's doing. And it's throughout the stories in the Bible. It tells us about different things, and we continue to do things the way we want to. Okay. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor to it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. And in parentheses in my Bible, there shall be no night there. So the gate's going to be open forever. And there's going to be no night time. And if you think about night, what happens during the night? That's when most of the people that, except for nowadays, that want to do something wrong, always hid by night and did most of what they did by night. But now today, they do it in broad daylight because it doesn't matter. But it's night was the cover. And there's going to be no need for a cover for the evil. And that's what we desire. We gave up a garden that God made perfectly for us as humans. And it was perfect. And when he comes, the next time, what he's going to give us is perfection of what we need, how God develops us or makes us, or I don't know how you want to word it, how our progression, but that is what's going to happen. Is we're actually going to be into the perfection that, and if it's a better perfection, then because we're not going to have these bodies. These bodies are a hindrance. People don't believe it. It's not the same. They're not going to be the same. But there shall be no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How great that is. I mean, can we give it a greater... Nothing that bad is going to enter. I mean, think about it. What's this world missing the most right now? Anything that's good, if you really think about it. And he's promising us that nothing bad's going to enter. And it should let people see that how much we've progressed from the Garden of Eden till now. Just with one little sin, what the world became. And it continues. We can't stop it. But the whole thing is we can't embrace it. And we're going to partake in it because everybody sins and falls short. But you don't embrace it.
What's the word you're using? He doesn't what?
He doesn't.
Embrace it.
We don't embrace it.
Well, we don't embrace
it. See, sin, you see it. Everybody sees it today in the world. And embracing it, I think embracing it is the same as saying, all right, that's sorry. That's a sin. That's all right. You know, it's hard because when you embrace a sin and say, okay, it's all right, that's what the Lord tells us. Love the sinner, but hate the sin. And so we're not to love sinners, but we can't embrace their sins. We can't accept their sins. And that's what I believe he leads us. I could be wrong, but I believe I'm right on it. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. Each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead, and there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall and shall reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of holy prophets and his angels to show him the servants with the things that must take place shortly. We have the river, a river, but we have no sea. Where does the river go? What's that? What? You don't see it? You don't see the river? But you don't. There's no sea for the river to flow to. Where it's does it circle? No, but it comes from the throne of God. Yeah, the Lord. That's how great it is. Is he tells us this, and he leaves it for our imagination. Well, our imagination can draw you everywhere. But then if you look at the word, why doesn't he tell you? Why doesn't he say where this, it's not necessary. That's why we're men. We find a need to know stuff we don't know when we should be searching for the things we do know. And I really believe that's one of the things that people miss is the search for things we know instead of the search for the things we don't know. It's to how many discussions in your lifetime have you heard about creation? They know all the stuff the Bible tells them, because the only authority on it is the Bible. But they all have different ideas. But he tells you what we need to know, but we seek what we don't know, what we don't need to know. And to look. Well, now. Yes.
Continue to see.
But the water will always flow downhill. But is that the case in the Bible? If you guarantee that he can't make.
In the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
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 Here.
That's a good way to look at it. It all goes down from God, and since God, but it's can it go uphill? Can God decide that this river goes? It's going to go uphill. We can't limit our God, because if we put him in a box, he's not our God. Because once you contain him in a box, he's you're lessening, and he's more than we can even understand. And that's why I made the statement in the beginning about we're dumb. We're not the smartest people. We're not smart enough to know everything that God wants to put out there for us. And he puts the stuff out there for us so that we can, some people would go crazy looking at that. But if they're only going to go crazy looking at that, where does that water go? What's their real belief in God? Because that's what he wants. That's what this whole book's about. Is, are we going to believe what God says, and are we going to do what God says? We're going to fail. He tells us that plainly. But we have the book, and we know what we're supposed to do. And we all fail. There's plenty of proof of that. But what I would like to do is go back to Genesis. Go back to 3:7 to 11. Seeing the comparison of the Garden of Eden compared to the New Jerusalem, and how there's a comparison there that there are things very the same. Because the biggest thing I see is in the Garden of Eden, God walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God is our light in the New Jerusalem. And with all, you can wrap everything else around that, is what else did they need? What else do we need between those two things? In the Garden of Eden, God provided everything else and he walked with man. In the New Jerusalem, we don't even need a sun or a moon because we have God who is sufficient for all. But to get back, let's, I like to bounce around in my studies if you haven't figured that out yet. The Lord takes me on weird trails. I guess they're for me. I don't know if they're really for me to share, but then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covered. Then they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" It's almost ironic how that's written. If you when you read it, it's God knew we already ate the food. Come on, it's not a secret. But he didn't come storming in and go crazy on Adam and Eve for eating of the tree, because he knew they were going to eat of the tree. He knew it. He because man. That's the design of him. He was tempted, and the temptation is very. You got to watch the wording of how the temptation went, and it says, "Where did I didn't put my mark? Oh, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So, the first thing you hear is, you will be like God. Instead of, which would have been more truthful in the writing, if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will know it like God knows it. But no, he opens up, you will be like God. And, hold on, that's man's desire, right? Yeah. He's going to be better. He's going to make things better somehow. He's going to be like God. And whether it was if he should have ate it or not ate it, he shouldn't have ate it. And how it was worded, it doesn't really matter. But when you start off with, "Hey, I got a great deal for you," you know, people kind of lose focus. And that's, I believe that's how the devil works. He takes us and he catches us off guard because we're easy that way. We're easy prey. And as soon as he catches you off guard, then he feeds you the line. And it's the truth that what he said is exactly what God said. But God never told them they would be like him. So it's amazing how just how you reword stuff or how you say stuff really affects people's hearing. Anybody want to interject on that one?
So when we, that's why we have to have transformed mentally bodies to be able
yes.
to exist in the new now, because they had it perfect here.
Yes.
And they saw God. He walked with them. So they had eyes on. And they still. So in order for them not to have any evil or bad in the new heaven, that's why we have to have new bodies.
Yeah.
We have to be transformed. Or else we'll blow it again.
And our bodies can't defile nothing.
Your what?
Our bodies can't defile nothing.
That's right.
Because if you're going to be in the new Jerusalem, and that's what I read, nothing that can defile can enter it. So our bodies can't defile. Think about that. What does that mean? You know, and then he tells us it plain and simple. What are our needs when we become that spiritual beings, or we develop fully into what we are? We have one need. We have one need, and that's God. And God tried to give that to us in the garden, and we let that go.
He
does give it to us. He gives us a chance. We couldn't breathe without him. You know, when people don't even believe that, they just don't understand it. It's not hard for man to stop breathing. It's harder to breathe than not breathe. Just remember that. Yes? Yes, but you can't force yourself to stop breathing, but it is harder to breathe than not breathe. Because you're forcing yourself to do something when you breathe. Take it in, you're making your lungs function, your heart's pumping, and when you exhale, you do it. But if you didn't breathe, it's a lot easier. So it's how we see our spiritual being, or what we're going to develop into, or however you want to word it, is it's very, God gives us ideas and stuff in here plainly that we can look at and we can see. And that's what I like to see. I like to look at what God tells us. He gives us simple. And if I interject something, don't speak up. I usually say if I interject, I'm adding something that I didn't read. But go ahead.
So from Ezekiel, we know that the garden was on a mountain.
Okay. That's
right.
Yeah.
So I had this like picture, like we're all like, how this happened, but like you look at a volcano. Right, the water's coming out one source, draining down, all stops. Right. Well, the cool thing is we have it flowing from the temple of God. But Corinthians tells us that. Now I gotta find it. So when they were going through the wilderness, they were thirsty, and water had to come came from a rock.
Yes.
And in Corinthians, we're told that. All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that's Christ.
Yes.
So the flow starts, and then out of your abundance, your heart flow rivers of living water. You know.
Yes.
But that rock, where it's coming from, it's all Christ.
Yeah, and it has to be. Like I was saying, he supplies what we needed. He gave Adam and Eve everything they needed in the garden. And there was only one thing they couldn't do it, and they did it. You know, God provides us with everything we need. I mean, he developed the whole creation for man. I mean, that's what I take out of that whole creation thing is, that God created, did all that work for man. And man had a choice. And man chose to not accept God's fully what he was given. Go ahead.
That started the ball rolling free will.
Yeah. Well, he created us with a free will. Yes. Free will.
Oh yeah. Okay.
He didn't have the tree. Correct. And that's why it was.
Don't even know that tree because you're not just want to be able to even get near it because of God. And I say no.
He did give him a warning about the tree.
Right.
You shall surely die.
But he knew the nature of the earth.
Yes.
they were going to fetch.
Correct.
They three-wheeled.
I have a question. Do you think what they said that we heard from people did actually already know we're from evil? Did they already know good and evil? What about the argument that they knew good and evil, but it wasn't until they disobeyed God that they entered into some personal corruption? You know what I mean? You can see bad things in the world. I know good and evil.
Right. Yeah, they didn't have that possibility.
But they didn't have the personal corrupted spirit that they got by disobeying God. But I think they did that.
I think
that exactly intent perfectly
did witness. And he did that.
Yeah, the temptation
wasn't the knowing the good and evil. Yeah. The temptation was the belief.
Will you trust
the
God?
That Satan always tempts you with the word God just said. Always. As God said. You should, right? So what was Jesus' temptation? What happened before Jesus went to the wilderness?
He was baptized.
He was baptized. What happened?
The Spirit of the Lord came down.
And what did he say?
Well done, my
beloved
Son.
What were the temptations? If you are the Son of God.
Yep.
You see, you're always going to be tempted where God's speaking into your life to believe and rest and trust in him. Or to be deceived and make you nervous. All, you know what I'm saying? So that's where it comes down. I tell you I love you. It's all written. When you walk away, the first thing of life that's going to bring about battle is, does God really love me? Look at what's going on around me. Or all these things. So you're always going to be tested in the things that are spoken. Specifically.
And he said, God. Well, God already created him and in his image. They already gave him the image.
They were already.
So, that's the thing about faith. He changes it a little bit, you know, like it was a question.
What? See, I think they may have all that same time. That's my interjection.
They already were. Like, they knew they were created God. Now, they were not perfection of God. They did not obtain that, but God created them perfectly.
Well, it clearly tells us that.
Laura, your brain's spinning.
It clearly tells us that God looked at his creation and said it was good. So, in that, did he see any evil? God can't say it's good if there's evil in it. I mean, that is not his nature. In my opinion, I don't know if there's anything that exactly backs that up word for word in here, but that's definitely, I believe that wholeheartedly, that God allows evil. He doesn't totally wash it away. It's the evil is to show his goodness. And that's what is a lot of missed. Why do people have to go through certain things? Because we're in a fallen world.
Lucifer was already here.
What's that?
Lucifer was already from here.
Yes. What's that?
Lucifer was already from here before.
I don't know. He was on the earth.
Yes.
But did God throw him there? I don't know that. I can't say that God threw him there. I can't say that. God has shared with me what he believes, and I see it. I can't prove it, but I can see it because.
Word.
What's that?
It's in the word.
Yeah. Yeah. Lucifer. When he, the Lucifer, Satan, the snake, whoever.
The purpose of all angels.
But the purpose of all angels is to support God and do God's will.
Hebrews is what it tells. Are they not all ministering spirits to bring aid to those who inherit salvation?
Yes.
Right? So, that was probably Satan's message. Was supposed to be to lift up the building. Because their job is to bring aid for salvation. So his message wasn't an aid of salvation. It was a deception to salvation. Become holy.
Yes. Because who got elevated when man fell? Whether you consider that being elevated or not, I see it as Satan took something from God. And that is what I believe, would have to talk to this with Scott. I look at that and I can see that when he took man from God by making him sin, he took something from God, and that made him God's opponent.
I think it was an attempt to usurp the authority of God. Yes. However, he can't ever take anything from God. And, you know,
but God also desire is that everybody comes to him and will be. So when he makes people sin and they deserve hell for it, he does take people. In my opinion, that's only my opinion, he takes some of the people that God wants with him and he takes them to hell with him. I believe that that is how God, the only thing that Satan has over God. He can't defeat him. I mean, yes, it's deception. And he deceives people with the ability to stop them from going to heaven, which is God's desire. And where do they go? They go with him, to the pit. So, is that right or wrong? That's the way I see it. That's how I see Satan has anything to God. Why he still attacks God is because he's stopping people from making it better. So it is man. It's a battle for man and the eternal man. That's what I that's how I see it.
We know how it feels to be on the other side.
Yes.
And I don't want to be on that side.
Deceptions, lies.
Eternity is darkness and despair and deception. I mean, that's painful stuff.
But until we sin, we don't recognize our need.
But a lot of people, some people in sin don't recognize they're sinning. I was one of my examples. I'm going to skip because we're running out of time. And I'll take it to Acts 9:3. What is it? God, I know you.
Right after 8.
It's the road to Emmaus.
Oh.
Okay. Paul. I'm not going to read it. We're out of time. I'm just going to give you my brief description of it. Paul was educated in the Jewish religion by Jewish scholars, by Jewish Pharisees, and the whole. He had all the training that you could get, and he was really zealous for it. He's very zealous for it. He drove him to kill people. Okay? And then the Lord, what's he do? Meets him on the road. It's just a shining light with a figure of a man, I believe it says. I'm not reading it. And who are you? He says, I'm Jesus. And then he lost his sight. It doesn't tell you what happened in the 3 days he lost his, but I think Paul got to see everything he learned in 3 days over his lifetime. It was condensed for him in a very condensing fit that what he was fighting against at that point, because the religious leadership was telling him to, was not, it was the whole thing they were teaching him about. And I think that was the conversion of Paul, was he actually, he seen the bright light, he seen this, the figure, but he didn't see, he seen Jesus, but he was still blocked because of all his, what he was told by the leadership to do.
And actually didn't even listen.
What's that?
Because Gamaliel said, if it's of God, we can't stop it. It's not. So he didn't even listen to his mentor.
Yes.
He went above and beyond and didn't even listen to him.
Yes. But that's what I'm saying is he was so zealous and he did it. So he did it when sin. But did he really know he was sinning, or did he believe he was doing it for God? Because that was the deception. Deception was that he wasn't doing it for God. It was he was doing it for the religious leadership. And that's the condensed version. I had a little more to you, but
which ultimately is our own Pharisaical hearts do the same thing all the time in our own doctrine.
Yeah, and that's,
if you hold on to a doctrine, you're going to kill those who don't believe.
Yes, and that's why it's so important that we learn that we're not under law. We're not. The only thing we have to do is follow Jesus, because he said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I'll end it there, just because. But we'll close in prayer real quick. And Lord, Heavenly Father, I hope this message was of you, and you can guide us through it, and you can take us to see your words, and you bless everybody, and bless Kent. But I didn't get to use his thing I was going to steal today that he gave us yesterday. In your name we pray, amen. Because I was going to go to Psalms 4:13 after that we got off track there, that God sees everybody naked. So even though they covered themselves with leaves, they wouldn't have done no good. Because they covered themselves up, and they didn't do a good job of it. But I was going to go there, but I didn't.